When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. And we're off to the highlands to our colleague, Fraser Howey, who is the co-author of Red Capitalism. And we're now looking at Red Capitalism from the point of view of the presidential contest underway here in the United States. And a new entry, Kamala Harris, the vice president, is now said to be, presumed to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. There are some details, but that is the direction. And Fraser, a very good day to you. This is all sudden. It emerged over the weekend, and the president is stepping aside from his own campaign. Do you have observations from your colleagues and the news that you watch in Asia about this change of horses? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Gordon. Look, it's all too early to say. Kamala Harris is largely unknown. I don't think she knows what our policy is for Asia. She talks about continuity with Biden policies. I would say that's just a phrase to not frighten the horses, as the saying goes. I think, though, what we'll certainly see over the coming presidency, whether it's a Democrat one or a Republican one, is clearly a lot more tensions between the US and China and a lot more intra-Asia tensions. So whichever president is, you know, reality and events are going to be right front and center, and they may have to change their policies depending on how the events turn out.
Gordon, you have a question for our friend Fraser.
Fraser, regardless of the individual, if there is a new president, we've seen two things. First of all, as you point out, China will test that person. And second of all, that new president will always think that he can do better than his predecessor, which means that China generally gets 2 years of free pass at a start of an administration. Your comments on those two observations?
Yeah, I think on the free pass, it's going to be hard to see how a second Trump presidency, China's going to get a free pass. We always know that he talks about his friend Xi Jinping and whatever. But again, he opened the whole discussion about being tough on China with his trade war. And he eventually got around to taking China seriously. Biden sort of refined some of those policies. And I don't see that changing. So in that sense, I'm not sure if it's a Trump presidency, we're going to be light on China again. Let's say if it's a Harris presidency, all bets are off. I really just don't know I don't think he's going to unwind anything, but it's very difficult to see at this stage what our China policy is. But China is going to test them. There's no question about that. They're going to test them in the South China Sea, in the East China Sea, in a whole host of areas. And I think any president's got to hit the ground running.
I go to a New York Times headline, Fraser. Where have all the Chinese IPOs gone? Subhead, Chinese companies' stock market listings once flooded Wall Street. These days, China's initial public offerings, IPOs, are in a drought. Is this a consequence of Xi's brutality? Called a strongman, by the way, in a recent article in the Financial Times. I like that. They're taking a position here. Is it Xi that's keeping the money out, or is the IPO market that thin in China? Are they down on their luck?
Look, there's a number of factors there. Some are ours, as it were, some are theirs. If you remember, the U.S. particularly, so post the trade war or following on from the trade war initial engagements, there was the capital war engagements where they passed laws basically making it tougher for companies to list in China, sorry, Chinese companies to list in the U.S. They needed to disclose who was Communist Party membership, ownership, etc. So they were just much tougher on listing, you know, Chinese companies because they had a poor track record. You also have on their side, you have much tougher rules about listing overseas now, particularly around data and going through a cyber audit to make sure that data isn't being leaked overseas or that foreigners somehow can get that data, which has made China very reluctant, or Chinese companies very reluctant to do IPOs. There's also been a clampdown on their side in terms of IPOs just being a way of getting money overseas. If you can list your assets overseas, then that's a load of wealth that the private sector or also government related cadres have got their wealth overseas. And then let's not forget, China's economy stinks, you know, and an economy that stinks, you don't basically get a lot of companies coming to market, and you certainly don't get good valuations for the companies that do. So you put all that together, I don't think it's a headline that they're in the doldrums at all. I think it's the surprise would be that if there were a lot of listings, we'd have to ask what's going on, who's buying China.
Gordon, you have a question.
Fraser, if we step back, you know, Hong Kong has always depended on the fortunes of China. Right now, it would seem that Hong Kong is suffering because Hong Kong is extraordinarily dependent on the rest of China. Do you think that Hong Kong can find sort of another path that does not involve Chinese IPOs and Chinese business? Or is it too connected to be able to ever get out from under?
I hate to give a very short answer, but no, there is no other path. It's like I'd love to think that Hong Kong could somehow create something, as it were, out of nothing, but they can't. We know in this, particularly for the stock market, their biggest success over the past 20 years or since the handover has been the Hong Kong Connect, which is to use Hong Kong infrastructure to allow foreigners to trade Chinese mainland shares. And, you know, we haven't seen any Hong Kong companies coming to the fore. We haven't seen any sort of industry developments there. It's an economy that's become ever more dependent on China, and particularly on the financial sector. So sadly, you know, we know the political story in Hong Kong, that the one country, two systems has been squashed. And so therefore, it's virtually impossible to see how Hong Kong is operating or can boom independently from a strong China.
Following the third plenum, rates were lowered. Is it going to work, Fraser?
I think what was the prime rate went from 1.8% to 1.7. I don't think 10 basis points is going to make any difference at all. The third plenum was woefully short of meaningful reform or meaningful ideas, which again, why anyone should think that something new is coming out after all this time is beyond me. But I think the rates coming down, it's a token signal, but 10 basis points is not shifting the dial. And, you know, they talk about pushing a bit of, it's like pushing a bit of string. The problem is there are no good opportunity to invest in China. It's not simply getting cheaper borrowing. The opportunities to invest are just not there. And property, which has been the big driver of so much of the growth in China, remains in the doldrums with very few, you know, very little chance of coming out of it. So again, no, it's not going to move the dial at all.
Gordon, we have about a minute.
Fraser, I agree that there'll be very little investment because of the dropping of interest rates. But what will the effect on the renminbi be? Is it a signal to the world to get out of the renminbi, or are people going to just yawn at this?
I think most people will probably yawn. And I think, Gordon, as you know, I'm sure you've been following as well, there's been a lot of money that's been coming out anyway. The Mexican drug cartels, and so much money is laundered through the illicit drugs and criminal activity. And one of the factors into that is actually Chinese money wanting to get overseas. So those who have money and want to get out of China have already done so or continue to do so. The interest rate change is making very little difference to that. The big picture is clear, and if you're not acting on it, you're basically foolish.
Fraser Howey, the co-author of Red Capitalism, The Fragile Financial Foundation of China's Extraordinary Rise, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.